On Thursday night of that week, Mom and Jeffrey left for a quick 2-day trip to Philly for blood counts and a couple of chemotherapy injections. The procedures were pretty routine by then, but the results weren't. Jeffrey's counts were really low, so low that the doctors gave him 2 transfusions, one of whole blood and one of platelets. This turned the 2-day trip into a 4-day trip. I heard my dad on the phone saying that the hospital bills were running about $2,000 a night, so I knew our financial picture wasn't getting any rosier. Also, my mom told me that Jeffrey would probably be even more vulnerable to germs in the foreseeable future, so I should be extra careful to avoid being near anyone who was sneezing or coughing and to wash my hands when I walked into the house every day. I asked if I should just stay home and live in a plastic bubble with Jeffrey, and she warned me that I might, in fact, have to stay out of school for a while if something like chickenpox started going around. So I was freaking out. On the one hand, my head was a mess of tumbling worries. Rising poverty, falling blood counts, alarming potential for quarantine. On the other hand, Renee was coming. Renee was coming to my house. Tuesday was the big day. Midterm exams were a week away, so I needed Renee's help pretty big time. Also, I couldn't get past the excitement part of the deal. Renee, in my house! I missed math for a drum section rehearsal. You really have to love the logic of getting called out of math for band right before exams, and Renee wasn't on the bus on the way home from school, so we didn't confirm that she would be coming over, but I assumed the plans were on for 7 p.m., which was what we had arranged the week before. I ate with my mom and Jeffrey at 6. My dad was still at his office. It was the beginning of tax season, when accountants get busier and busier leading up to April 15th, I figured we could use some extra income, so I was betting my dad would be really busy this year. Anyway, my mom noticed that I was being quieter than usual, and Jeffrey started in. He's saving up all his smooth-talking for his big date with Renee Albert. It's not a date, nutball. She's just tutoring me in math. I bet you're gonna kiss her, right? She has a boyfriend, Jeffrey, you know that. She's still going out with Biff, the guitar player. But she's coming over to play with you. She's not playing with me. She's teaching me about numbers and stuff. So when are you going to kiss her then? Mom, this kid is out of control. Can't we get him some tranquilizers or something? Maybe a padded cell upstairs? Then my mom got rolling. Stephen, is there something going on between you and Renee? I notice you're dressed more neatly than usual, and your hair is even combed down.
And he's wearing boy perfume, Mom. He wasn't wearing any last week when Annette came over, but for Renee, he is.
It's called cologne, monkey boy. Since when do you wear cologne to learn math? Oh, my son is growing up right in front of my very eyes. Maybe I should get out the video camera. Maybe you should tie me to a stake, douse me in kerosene, and torch me right on our front lawn. I won't need any kerosene, Stephen. I'm sure the cologne will go up pretty fast. Ha ha, Mom. Just then, the doorbell rang. Please keep the lunatic away from us, Mom. We have work to do.
Is kissing hard work or easy work, Stephen? Mom, remove him!
I went to answer the door, and when I opened it, Renee was standing there, all bundled up against the winter with a few snow flurry flakes on her jacket. Her cheeks were flushed from the wind, and her hair was blowing around. I just wanted to reach out and brush the strands away from her face, but that didn't seem like a good tutorial beginning. Plus, Biff looked like the kind of guy who could rip my arms off and use them as toothpicks. So I just said hi instead. She said hello back, and I was just about to step aside and let her in, but just then she sneezed and coughed and sneezed again. Excuse me, Stephen. I'm coming down with some kind of virus thingy, I think. I went home early from school today and skipped cheering, but I didn't want to stand you up. You have so many big problems going on, I just couldn't let you down, so I'm here. Let's get to work. I blocked the doorway with my body and said something that seemed to float up from a place beyond my worst nightmares. Renee, I can't let you in. What do you mean? It's cold out here and we've got a lot to do. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't let you come into this house. You're sick and Jeffrey can't get sick right now. Stephen, you're being ridiculous. It's probably just a cold anyway. A cold could put my brother in the hospital. Stephen, what's really going on? Do you hate math so much you just can't stand it? Do you want to fail the class? Then I wish you would have told me that before I came stomping through the snow to come over here. Renee, I'm serious. This isn't about math.
And it can't be about me? Any boy in the school would be drooling to have me come over, and everybody knows you've had a crush on me since third grade, haven't you? Now just let me in.
I'm sorry, Renee. Do you want me to call your mom to come get you? Without responding to me directly, she spun around on her heels like the dancer she was and marched away. I could hear her muttering about me all the way to the end of the driveway.
Ugh! I walk to the boy's house in a blizzard and he doesn't even let me in! He drools over me for half a decade, but when I deliver myself to his front door, he slams it in my face. I will never understand boys!
At that point, she fired a parting shot over her shoulder.
Go ahead then! Fail math and be lonely the rest of your life!
As I slumped against the doorframe, staring at her back and wondering how she could be so graceful in snow boots and a parka when she wasn't even feeling well, Jeffrey came up behind me.
You know, Stephen, you were right. I guess you aren't going to kiss her.